Good morning. It's 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, August 6, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. The filing period to run for municipal office closed on Friday. 5 people are running for assembly, 3 people are running for mayor, and 1 is running for school board. For assembly, there are 3 seats available. 2 of those seats carry 3-year terms. The third carries a 1-year term. It's the seat vacated by Terry Blake, whose term would have expired in 2013. The candidates for assembly are Phyllis Hackett, Matthew Hunter, Dallas Peavy, Michelle Putz, and Aaron Swanson. There's obviously only 1 mayor, but 3 people are seeking the job. Incumbent Cheryl Westover is hoping for re-election and facing challenges from assembly members Ben McConnell and Tor Christensen. For school board, there are 2 seats available, but only 1 person has filed to run. Cass Book is looking for re-election this year. Longtime board member Tom Conley did not file to regain his seat this fall. The school board will likely have to appoint someone to the vacant seat. The municipal election is October 2, 2012. Raven Radio will provide a variety of coverage between now and then, including live candidate forums, which will air in mid-September. The bids for Sitka's Blue Lake hydropower expansion were open this week, and they are all tens of millions of dollars higher than the engineer's estimates. The discrepancy means the city will need to find additional money for one of the most expensive projects in city history. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Hatch Engineering Consultants estimated construction on Sitka's Blue Lake hydro expansion at between $45 and $50 million. When city staff gathered in the municipal clerk's office on Tuesday to open contractors' bids, they found numbers nearly twice that amount. The lowest was around $84 million. The highest bid, about $101 million.
Yeah, we were a bit surprised. There were more than one chin that hit the floor, I can assure you.
Chris Bruton is Sitka's utility director. He says a panel of city staff and outside experts are studying the bids to find out why the estimate was so far off.
Did our bid miss something, a gross error, or did we grossly underestimate something, or did the contractors catch something that we weren't aware of? I'm really curious to see on a line item basis where the disparity lies.
KCAW called Hatch's office in Seattle, but the company did not want to talk on tape. Neither did 2 of the companies that entered bids, ASI Constructors in Colorado and Barnard Construction in Montana. Both said they did not want to talk about the procurement process while it was active. The third company, Kiewit Infrastructure West, could not be reached on deadline.
My name is John Schaufelberger, and I'm the chairman of the Construction Management Department at the University of Washington in Seattle.
Schaufelberger's research is in contract procurement and project delivery methods. We asked him if it's common for there to be disparities between engineers' estimates and the prices that contractors send back.
The contractor's price is going to be based on the risk that he or she's being asked to assume and what are the market conditions. In other words, if there's not a lot of projects, then the profit margins tend to be smaller than they are when there's plenty of projects around. So it's very common for the estimate to be different.
But not this different, he says. Schaufelberger acknowledges he's not worked on the Blue Lake project, nor has he reviewed the hundreds of pages of documents outlining the city's needs. But if he had?
The first thing I would do is I would ask one of these contractors to come in and ask them to show me how they come up with their price, and I would compare it with what the estimator did and try to figure out where there's a difference. There's something that caused the contractors to bid those higher numbers, and that needs to be determined, I think. And it's possible it can be mitigated to some extent by some decisions the city might be willing to take.
Sitka is not the only city in Southeast Alaska dealing with this situation. To a smaller degree, so is Ketchikan. The city's Whitman Lake Hydro Project has been in the works for 25 years. Thursday night, the city council put off a vote on the project after bids came in $12 million over the engineering estimates. Those estimates were also prepared by Hatch, the company that did Sitka's work. Putting off the Blue Lake project in Sitka is not a possibility. Bruton at the electric department says the expansion of the Blue Lake Dam needs to happen and that the work will only get more expensive with time. The city already has spent millions on preparation, reports, consulting, engineering, and clearing regulatory hurdles. State Senator Bert Stedman has been following Blue Lake closely. In addition to serving as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, which writes the state's capital budget, he's also a Sitka resident. And he says there are lots of options, including ways the state can help. But he says it's too early to say which option is the best. He can, however, point to which option he thinks is the worst.
The option that is should not be the executed solution is to put our rates at 16, 17 cents a kilowatt. To me, it's going to be economic lights out for the town.
Stedman says raising rates significantly will push commerce away from Sitka. He plans to meet with city officials once they've had a chance to work on some numbers. And until then, the electric department's Bruton is calling for Sitkins to follow that old British World War II maxim.
Keep calm and carry on, right.
Bruton says he's disappointed the bids are so much higher than the estimates, but also that it's important to give his staff time to come up with options and present them for public debate.
The question that I want folks to remember is this, this is the cost to do it, but think of what the cost is not to do it. We're out of hydro. We've been running diesel. We saw that happen. We have turned away business from this community because we couldn't provide electricity.
And he says the longer Sitka waits to raise the Blue Lake Dam, the more expensive it will be to do it. The Sitka Assembly will get an update on the situation at its next meeting, August 14th. After that, city staff will come up with some options, recommend a bid, and bring it back to the Assembly for a vote by early September. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Ketchikan-Wrangell House District has the only party primary in Southeast Alaska this year, but candidates in two other districts are still raising money and gearing up campaigns. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Boundary changes mean most legislative candidates are campaigning in different districts this year. It's affecting the amount of money incumbents and hopefuls need to raise.
You know, the district's getting bigger. We pick up Haines and Metlakatla and Hyder and other areas in between, so it's going to take a little more time to move around.
That's Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. His district used to include his hometown, Petersburg, Ketchikan, and Wrangell. It's lost Petersburg and gained a number of smaller communities, including Angoon, Hoona, and Cake. His general election opponent, Angoon Democratic Senator Albert Kukesh, has represented the smaller towns for years. Sitka, Ketchikan, and Wrangell have been added to his district, but 100 or so interior communities have been dropped. Kukesh says that means fewer flights.
I used to have to go from Angoon to Juneau, then to Anchorage, then to Fairbanks, and then catch little commuter planes to all those other villages. They didn't have common carriers up there either. You had to take a different carrier almost every village, so there's got to be a lot less traveling.
Travel costs money, and so does introducing yourself to new communities. Kukesh leads in the fundraising race at this point in the campaign. State reports show he's brought in close to $27,000, including funds left over from last year. Stedman has about 20% less, but both say they have much more to raise. Kukesh says he expects to bring in more than $50,000, about double what he's collected so far.
The only thing I've done is fundraising. I haven't done any online or any of that kind of stuff at all.
Are you getting most of your money from within the district?
Yeah, it was in the district and from just mostly people I know.
He's also held one event in Anchorage. Stedman says he expects his campaign to cost $50,000 to $80,000, but he really hasn't gotten started.
Well, I've got to wait till the boys are done fishing and tourism slows down and we'll have some fundraisers in the communities. But right now everybody's busy working. Most of the fundraising activity has been going on so far up in Anchorage.
And have you done any of that?
Not this summer, no. And probably not planning on doing any this winter.
The other expensive Southeast race is for the House seat representing Sitka and most of the small communities in the Stedman-Kukesh district. Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas has brought in close to $60,000, including funds left over from last year. Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins has brought in a quarter of that amount. Like the Kukesh-Stedman race, the candidates face no primary opposition. They'll be up against each other in the November 6th general election. Redistricting has put 59 of Alaska's 60 legislative seats on the ballot. That's about a third more than usual. Kukesh says that spread out campaign donations.
With all of the candidates running this year, except for Dennis Egan, it's really hard to get any money. People are having trouble raising money. And I am too.
Egan, a Democratic senator, is in the middle of his second term representing Juneau. Petersburg and Gustavus were added, but officials decided the district was so similar he could complete the four-year term without an election. Juneau's two representatives, Democrat Beth Kurtula and Republican Kathy Munoz face no opposition in the primary or general elections. But they've still raised money. Munoz has close to $22,000, Kurtula less than half of that. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A reality television crew was in Juneau last week, producing a segment for a cooking show that is expected to air early next year. As Matt Miller reports, the show is expected to highlight Alaska seafood.
Box trucks were parked behind a downtown Juneau parking garage, and crew members were observed on Thursday setting up equipment around Tracy's Crab Shack, a waterfront eatery known for its award-winning bisque. A spokesperson for the television production, Jennifer Thompson of Thompson & Company, declined to answer questions and would not even reveal the identity of her client because she was worried that it could spoil the outcome of the show. She would only say that Alaskans would see it in the first quarter next year and it would be big. Juanetta Ayers of the state's Division of Economic Development says there are no productions currently shooting in Juneau that have yet qualified for the state's film production tax credit. Capital City Fire and Rescue says they were asked to provide emergency medical technicians for the production, but Chief Rich Etheridge says they passed the request on to local firefighter unions and volunteer organizations. Firefighters not on duty for the city and borough of Juneau for that day could moonlight or work as an on-set private contractor for the production company. Harbormaster Dwight Tajon estimates that the production company brought about 150 people into town and unloaded a bunch of stuff from one of the cruise ships earlier in the week.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.